We are certainly grateful to have such a good number this morning. We have quite a few who are visiting with us. We want you to know we appreciate your presence, and it's our hope that you've been blessed by the time that we have spent together in worship to God up to this point. The lesson that I have prepared for this morning is on the topic of hospitality, and is taken from a text in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, where the call is to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. It's a very short verse, but it has some far-reaching ramifications. It presents a big challenge to Christians. We recognize that the society in which we live is one that is not necessarily conducive to hospitality. But this text intimates that hospitality is a commandment that we as Christians must obey. You live in a society to where it seems like everyone just about is strangers, and we lock our doors at night, and we have our windows up on our cars with the air conditioning going and listening to music. And it seems like we live, although there is such a connectivity with regard to social media and those kinds of things, we, to a very great extent, when it comes to personal interaction, live very disconnected and solitary lives. But that ought not to be the case with a child of God. The standard that God has established for us is different, and it is higher than that of the world. You remember that we are told that the Gentiles take care of their own. The Gentiles express their love for one another. If they are loved by family, they love in return. We are to be better than the Gentiles. We are to strive for a higher calling and a higher standard than what is commonly expressed in the world today. And although hospitality is not something that we teach on quite often, it is in fact something, is intimated by this text, that God requires of each and every one of us. And that's what I want to establish in the teaching of the lesson this evening. It may not be that we all have the same amount of capability in this area, but it is something that is required of each of us. And so we should be seeking and striving to be hospitable to one another. So let's take a little bit of time to talk about the concept of hospitality. And what I would like to do is start with defining the term. It's an interesting Greek word, philoxenos. And it is basically a compound word. The word philo or philos has reference to love or affection, a genuine affection for or care for. And then the word xenos is the Greek word for stranger. And perhaps you have heard this from time to time, the idea that the word hospitality literally means a love of strangers. You think, well, wait a second. Stranger danger. We've got to be careful in this regard. And I do acknowledge that to some extent with regard to a reality of our lives. But again, we need to recognize that the call to hospitality, it's not just having someone into your home, although that is an important component. Being hospitable has reference to kindness, care, concern, doing for others. And there are a number of ways in which that can be accomplished. But let's talk a little bit about that idea of a love for strangers or hospitality. I want to begin by looking at a couple of biblical examples of hospitality that we find. And the best place to go for this is actually the Old Testament. I would like to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 18, if you'd like to turn with me there in your Old Testaments. Genesis chapter 18. I want you to note on this particular occasion, Abraham was dwelling by the oaks at Mamre, and he received a visitation from the Lord together with two of his angels. And in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 2 of the text, as these three appeared to him while he dwelt there, I want you to know how he responded. We're told in verses 2 through 5 that when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. Now, Abraham lived in tents, but there was a door to the tent, and he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of food that you may refresh your hearts. And after that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They had come to him. These individuals were strangers, but they had come to him. And he went out to greet them. He wanted to make that effort to be hospitable to them. Abraham was an individual who truly was hospitable. We can see that in his actions on this particular occasion. The interesting thing about this is that Abraham, in effect, entertained angels unaware. entertained angels without that knowledge. In Hebrews chapter 13, you may remember in verse 2 of the text, which is a passage we'll revisit in a few moments, the Hebrew writer calls on us to practice hospitality. He says, do not forget to entertain strangers, because in doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And that's exactly what happened in this particular case with regard to Abraham. Now, later on, those two angels, they actually went to Lot, who was dwelling in Sodom. It's the very next chapter in Genesis chapter 19 and verses 1 through 3. So we have basically the same scenario, to where two men appear to Lot. And we're told in verses 1 through 3 of Genesis 19 that when he saw them, he did the exact same thing as his uncle Abraham. He went to meet them. He bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He said, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night. Wash your feet, then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly. So they turned into him and entered his house, and he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now, I recognize there are certain things about Lot that we might find somewhat problematic, some discouragement we may find in his example, but in this particular case, he was doing exactly what he should have done. Lot was an individual who saw these strangers, and he entertained them. He expressed a fondness for them, and in fact insisted, even though they really did not want to impose. How many times have you heard that? I don't want to impose. But you insist. And that's exactly what Lot did on this occasion. Made them a feast, baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Another example of a hospitable person is Job. You remember Job was set upon by the devil, and God allowed this, and Job had much tribulation. You remember Job had friends, and the friends basically told him, at least in part, that the reason why you're having such difficulty is because you've sinned against God. You're doing something that is unrighteous. So Job found it necessary to in effect defend himself. And in Job chapter 31 and verse 32, when he was charged with doing wrong, he defended himself, saying, among other things, in verse 32, no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. And so one of the things that Job appealed to in this claim that he was a righteous individual doing as he should do, is that when travelers passed by, I did not allow them to stay in the street. I offered up my home to them. And so we look at these biblical references, and we understand that what was practiced by those in Eastern locales in the past, very different from what we talk about when we talk about hospitality in our day today. When we talk about hospitality, generally we talk about entertaining friends and relatives, and that hardly comes within the parameters of the biblical usage of the term as denoting a special virtue. What we sometimes think of as hospitality, well, that's kind of what the Gentiles do. But this is something where you are extending yourself. We want to emphasize how important that is. And yet we sometimes see the opposite. We need to examine ourselves. I need to examine myself, you yourself, because as we see how bad the situation is with reference to hospitality, that there are many congregations that are not even entertaining their own relatives or dear friends, not even getting together, much less offering strangers their home. And there are opportunities when we have to do that, when there are brethren who come from other places, a preacher, for example. We open up our home to him to have a meal with him during a gospel meeting. There are efforts that we can make to be hospitable, and we want to talk a little bit about those kinds of things. But we do want to emphasize, again, that this is a command of God. A dedicated Christian is going to practice hospitality in every way capable. He's going to try his very best to recognize this is a commandment of God, and so there is only the choice to obey or to disobey. I would like to remind you of Romans chapter 12, that on that particular occasion, in verses 1 and 2 of the text, Paul called upon the Christians there to present their bodies as living sacrifices to God. One of the ways in which that can be accomplished, as seen in that context, is hospitality. Notice in verse 9 of the text, going down through verse 13, Romans 12, verses 9 through 13, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. One of the ways in which we present ourselves as living sacrifices to God within this context is that we give ourselves to being hospitable to others. Peter commanded, as we read in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And Hebrews 13, we read that before as well. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And by the way, in that particular context, the first verse is let brotherly love continue. And so we see that hospitality, especially as it is an interaction with our brethren, is an expression of the affection that we are to have as a family of God. It is an expression of affection toward one another as brothers. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 25, you'll remember, explained how a stranger should be treated, and that treatment of a stranger has an impact upon our standing with God. In this particular context, he's talking about the day of judgment. And you'll remember that he talked about individuals who, when there was a stranger, they did not or did offer them drink, offer them food, offer them a place to stay. And so in verse 35 of the text, he said to those who would actually be receiving the kingdom of God, he said, when I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and I was a stranger and you took me in. In contrast, in verse 43 of that text, having reference to those who would not receive the kingdom, those who would be sent to hell fire, he said, I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And you'll remember their response is, Lord, when did we see you sick or thirsty or hungry and not take care of you? Notice what he says in verse 45 of the text. Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Now I recognize that this command to be hospitable, and the idea that we need to get a little bit out of our comfort zone and actually expand our focus with regard to the importance of hospitality to those that we might not normally consider, that is something that can be uncomfortable. But it's something that we do need to recognize and we need to address. It's something that we need to consider carefully. There are a couple of individuals that are mentioned specifically in the church that are to be given to hospitality. One is the elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. We'll probably talk about the concept of hospitality for a little bit in our Bible study next Sunday morning. As one writer explained, the elder who invites only his relatives and close friends into his home for his own social entertainment, he's not meeting the qualification. He is to be a man who invites the strangers, such as the member of the church who just moved into town, or the person who was just recently baptized into his home. Inviting one's close friends into one's house on a Friday night to play cards, well, that's of no special virtue. And the idea here is that there needs to be not only that desire to be with those that we enjoy being with, but there needs to be an affection for, a desire, an enjoyment that comes from helping others, being hospitable to others. Whether or not that there is any reciprocation at all, whether or not it is individuals that we would otherwise normally spend time with. That's the virtue. That's what makes it special. And that's why that standard is higher than that which we see in the world. One other example, and then we'll go on to the next point. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 express an individual who can be put on the church roll, having reference to a widow. And you'll remember that there is a reference to those who are widows indeed. The reference there specifically is to widows who do not have family that can care for them. But the interesting thing is, the Apostle Paul places a restriction even upon widows who do not have family to care for them. He tells the young widows, first of all, to marry. Because being idle is something that will bring an individual to be a busybody and a gossip, and that's something he would avoid. But also, there are qualifications that must be met for a woman to be considered a widow indeed, who is worthy of receiving help from the church. And I want you to notice in verses 9 and 10, he says, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. And you see in this that this individual is, in effect, a paragon of the virtues that God would have a woman to have or to have incorporated in her life, both in her character and in her actions. And one of those things that sets apart a woman as truly virtuous is that she is indeed one who is hospitable. And so with those kinds of things in mind, what I want to do is spend just a few moments giving some biblical instruction with regard to how hospitality is to be exercised. And the first point that I want to make is that it needs to be exercised regularly. I don't know of a single commandment of God that we can neglect and not, as a result of that neglect, be censored by the Almighty. If it is our duty to do this, it is something that we should regularly be doing. We talk about that with regard to attendance. God gives us the instruction to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so there is an instruction to assemble, and so we need to come regularly for the purpose of assembling. We need to pray regularly. We need to study regularly. We need to live a righteous life consistently as we seek to serve ourselves as an example before others. And this is another example of that. Hospitality is a part of Christian living. A Christian who neglects this duty is disregarding God's commandment. And there are a couple of points to be made with regard to that practice that we want to note. We've actually made an allusion to each of these already. But let's flesh them out just a little bit for the remainder of our lesson. First of all, again in that statement in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, he said to be hospitable to one another. And I want to emphasize that phrase, to one another without grumbling. Because I do think that it's important for the welfare of a congregation that hospitality be shown among the members of that congregation. One another within our number. It's important for us to be in one another's homes. It's important that we serve one another. It's important that we seek to get closer as a congregation of God's people. And I would assert to you that it's not possible for a Christian to be as intimately aware of and familiar with the members of his congregation, that family of which he is to be part, if the only time he is with them is for a short period of time before or after the assembly. You can't get to know someone in the midst of the assembly. I mean, I suppose you know something of their character. The fact that they're there is an indication of some righteousness, some interest in the things of God. The idea that we can get to know someone another and that or one another, and that's important. In fact, the text of Romans 12 that we have up on the board, I'd like to read verses 15 and 16 of that passage with you. In Romans 12, 15 and 16, he says to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep and be of the same mind to one another. And I would assert to you that it's very difficult for us to be the kind of individuals that we need to be and have that relationship that we need to enjoy as Christians unless we are being hospitable to one another. How do you know someone? How do you get to know someone? The only way is to gather together for the purpose of visiting, to take in one's company and to get to know them. And in doing that, then we are able to sufficiently share in their joys and in their sorrows. We are able to get to know them, and that's something that is important. It strengthens a congregation to be hospitable in this way. The second thing is that we are to do that without grumbling. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, without complaining. And that doesn't have reference necessarily to a dearth of the practice. In other words, there are individuals who actually will practice hospitality, but they're resentful as they are required to do that. And I sometimes wonder if that is the case. For example, in a gospel meeting, we'll use that as an example of the type of thing we're talking about, where in some congregations there's going to be a visiting preacher, and the preacher is going to spend a week among them. And typically in the past, it was almost always the case that he would stay in someone's home. I would say that now when I go and hold gospel meetings, probably 60 to 70% of the time I still stay with someone. About 30% of the time, maybe 35, I will spend in a hotel, which I appreciate. It gives me a little bit more room to work and to study and a little bit more comfortable being on my own in that regard. But I also very much appreciate the opportunity to visit with a family for an entire week and get to know them better. And what I have found, and it sometimes is the preacher, it's sometimes an elder, it's sometimes another member of the church, that I get to know that family, that couple, or the entire family much better than I would otherwise get to know them. And I get to appreciate them and gain friendships, sometimes lifelong friendships as a result of that. But in some congregations, the question is asked, well, who's going to keep the preacher? Looking for volunteers. And you know how it is with volunteers. Everybody puts their hands in their pocket. They're unwilling to commit themselves. And then you'll have maybe one guy after a time has passed. He says, well, no one else will do it, so I guess I'll have to. Well, that's not the practice of hospitality. You may be having someone in your home in that regard, but you're not practicing hospitality without grumbling. There should be some joy that is present in this opportunity. Meal lists sometimes are left unfulfilled until the last minute. Well, I'll take him out if I have to, but my life is busy. There are other things that I prefer to do. I sure hope someone else will sign their name to the list so I won't have to. Well, I wish that whenever we announced, okay, the meal list is up, that there would be a mad rush to the back and people elbowing each other out of the way. Just once, I'd like to see that. No, you got to do it last time. I want to feed the preacher this time. But you know that's not going to happen. And I know some people say, well, you know, I do it quite often, so I'm not going to put my name up because maybe someone else will. And that's legitimate, by the way. Let someone else practice that hospitality. It seems like so often in congregations, and I think that's the case to a certain extent or another in our own, that when that meal list is put up, that the same ones feel it just about every time. And I would encourage you, if you have not done that, to take the opportunity to put your name on the list. We're going to have Brother Keith Lambert. It's only going to be a short meeting. I suppose we're going to have maybe 2, maybe 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, opportunities to feed the preacher and his wife. I have no doubt, at least I hope she will. She works, so maybe not, but at least the preacher will be coming. Be able to sit down with the preacher and to listen to what some of his stories and talk about him and get to know him, it makes you appreciate so much more the work that he's doing and the lessons that he shares with you. And it's something I would encourage the members of our congregation to do. So it can be a blessing, and I want you to think of it that way. It can be a blessing to the host, not just to the individual who is receiving the hospitality, but the individual who is extending that. And that is especially the case if the visitor, the one that you are extending your love to, is one who is a member of the Lord's church, the child of God, a faithful Christian. That's always an encouragement and a blessing. The next point we want to note is found from, or the principle, found from Luke chapter 14. So I'd like you to turn with me there. And when we talk about exercising hospitality, we need to recognize that our motivation should be pure in this. That we're not exercising this hospitality because we want to receive something in return. That's what we mean by not for recompense. There are two points actually to be learned from this text beginning in Luke chapter 14. On this particular occasion, Jesus had been invited by one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread in his house. And this apparently was kind of an opportunity for the leaders of the people to show themselves. It was a place of honor. And no doubt they considered it an honor to Jesus to extend to him that invitation. But there were a couple of problems that Jesus addressed while he was at this meal. The first one was that people were seeking the chief seats, the best places. You know, they wanted to be the individuals who would be exalted. And so they sought that position of exaltation. And so he told them a parable in this context. The premise of the parable basically is it's better to sit in a lesser place and have the host ask you to sit in a place of esteem rather than to sit in that place and be humiliated by the host asking you to go and sit somewhere else. And I want you to notice in verse 11, he said, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." But the second point is the one that is more germane to our study, and that is what he said to the host. And I want you to notice in Luke chapter 14 and verse 12, because apparently there was some impure motivation on the part of the host as he was graciously opening his home to Jesus and all of these other individuals. Jesus told him in verse 2, he said, "When you give a dinner or a supper, don't ask your friends and your brothers and your relatives nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. I want you to notice, first of all, that there's nothing wrong with having dinner with your family, nor is there anything wrong with having dinner with your friends. But again, having this idea that I'm going to practice hospitality, it's not that you bring individuals in necessarily that you would normally. But he says to him, he said, when you give a feast, he's talking to a Pharisee, one of the elites. He said, when you give a feast, this is what you ought to do. Instead of bringing these individuals in, who have you brought today? He said, invite the poor, invite the maimed, invite the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And I want you to understand, again, when we talk about hospitality, and notice the motivation here, that if our motivation is pure, we're not doing it because we will receive in return. I go to your house, you go to my house. Now, we do that as Christians all the time. And we feel that sense of social obligation. We recognize that if I have someone to my house, chances are, before too very long, they're going to express an invitation to me to come to their house because they want to revisit that and to repay that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but that's not the motivation that we ought to have. And that shouldn't be the end of our practice. We need to understand that when it comes to the motivation behind hospitality, as it is with all the other commandments, it's not to be seen of men, but rather is to be seen by God. And we're told here that if you bring this group in, now they're not going to be the leaders of the people. You're not going to gain influence because you have entertained the rich and the powerful. And you're not going to be asked in their home so that you can enjoy your company with them. But what you're going to do is invite a group of individuals who will appreciate your hospitality because they are in want, in need, and God's going to see it. And so the reward you receive is not that from men, but the reward you receive will be in the resurrection of the just. And that's the kind of hospitality that God expects of each and every one of us. And so as we draw our lesson to a close, hospitality is an important thing. And there are any number of scenarios. I do want to encourage the brethren of this congregation to be hospitable to one another. If you don't have brethren in your home or have not been in the practice of doing that, whatever the reason may be, and I understand it. My wife, she wants to clean the house and make sure it's just as good as possible before we have individuals over. And sometimes she asks me to help. So it's a little bit of an obligation. And it's not always easy, and you're always busy, and we're living in a time where there's always something going on. And I recognize that. But it's important to be hospitable to one another and to get to know each other and to enjoy each other's company. Might I add to that that hospitality to an individual that you're trying to convert, what is hospitality? It's an expression of love. You're telling an individual that we've got something, this gospel, that alters your life. It changes your person. You become a new creature in Christ. What you did practice, how you used to live, that's not the way you live anymore. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then you demonstrate that by having them into your home and by showing hospitality to them. Then you have a demonstration of that love. It's not merely a statement that you do love them, but a showing of that love for them. New members of a congregation, whenever a new member of the congregation comes in, do you think about having them into your home? I want you to be honest about that, because that's also something that will make them feel welcome. It is something that will encourage them to remain as a part of this congregation. It will strengthen them. It will let them know that they belong. And all the members of our congregation, no matter how long or how short your time among us is, you belong. And you need to know that. And all of us need to make it known to you. It's an important way to grow and to strengthen our church. And I would say finally that if a situation arises in which a visitor to our number goes away from the services of the Lord's church feeling that the church was not friendly, that it was not hospitable, there's something wrong. Now, there's a caveat here, because some visitors, you can't catch them. And I recognize that. You know, they come in last minute, they sit at the back, and as soon as the amen is said, that's one of the reasons I stand back there. It's one of the reasons why after the invitation I go to the back and I stand between those two doors in the hope that if someone's going to leave, at least somebody will be able to shake their hand. But there are other visitors who may linger a while. We have that tendency because we love each other, we care for each other. What happens when the final prayer is said? We talk to each other, we enjoy visiting for a while. Some of you stay here so long, we have to turn the lights off so you go out the door. That's a great thing. You can do that 5 minutes later because the visitors aren't going to stay long. And so if you give them an opportunity, I'm not saying in mass to go and scare them half to death by stampeding to them. And I'm not saying to dominate them and learn their life story the first time that you meet them. But just let them know, we appreciate the fact that you are here. That we noticed it. That we're thankful that you have taken the time to be with us, and we hope that you will come again. And by the way, if there is anything that we can do for you, let us know. That's all it takes for an individual to be made felt welcome, made to feel welcome. So the practice of hospitality, it doesn't belong to a select few in the congregation. It belongs to every saint. And by the way, sometimes the ones who complain the loudest about the fact that no one has them over, they don't have anyone over as well. And so we need to recognize how important it is for each and every one of us to look at ourselves, because God did not send us to be served, He sent us to serve. And if you think that hospitality is something that needs to increase in the West Side Church of Christ, well, then get started doing something about it. And you be hospitable. I think that's something that we all should consider, an admonition that we all should take seriously. We're going to offer an invitation at this time. We're very grateful again for the fact that you're here. And we do want you to know, as visitors of our congregation, that you're truly welcome. Each and every person here appreciates the fact that you have spent time with us today. We do care for you. We noticed that you were here. We hope and pray that you'll come again. And by the way, if there's anything we can do for you, please, please let us know. I would love to have an opportunity to open the Bible and study with you and to help you spiritually, or to talk with you about those things that are of so importance to me and to my brethren. But as we draw our lesson to a close this evening, it may be there is, or this morning, it may be an evening by the time I finish, but this morning, there may be an individual of our number this morning who's not a child of God, who needs to become one. If that is the case, we call upon you to turn away from your sins. And if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, act upon that faith by confessing Him as Lord and by being baptized to have your sins washed away. We can help you, or if there is any other we can assist in that regard, we ask that you come now while together we stand and while we sing.